Mishnah Yom is for Monday, the 28th day of Nisan, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Sota, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis. Our Mishnah continues from the previous one, and it deals with the kinui and the stira, the warning and the hiding that the woman went into, that men mentioned by the Sota. Ketzad Mekanela asks the Mishnah, what or how does the husband warn her? What is considered a proper warning? Amalo bifnei shnayim al tadabri mishploni. If the man told her, his wife, don't you ever speak with that man, but he didn't tell her that don't be seen in hiding with her, v'dibrei mo, and she went and she spoke with the man, and she violated his warning, idain hi muter slavesa. She's still allowed to go back to her husband. Umatar sechel b'truma. And if she's the wife of a kohen, she can eat truma. Why? Because she's not called a soita yet. She didn't receive a proper warning. And the Gemara explains that even if he would have told her, that if he said to her, do not speak with that man, that's not a kino at all. It's not a warning. And even if she went into hiding with him, she wouldn't be called a soita. Similarly, if he said to her the proper warning, do not be in hiding with her, alti sosri mishploni, and she spoke with the man, but not in private, but she spoke with him in public, she would be permitted for her husband as well. Why? Because the action that she did would not constitute being a soita, and she'd be allowed to eat truma and go back to her husband. But if she received the right warning and she violated the action of the warning, such as nichnasa imoy levesa seiser, if she went in with that man into a private area, we don't know what they did there, but we do know v'shasa imoy kedei tumah, we know that she stayed with him long enough for them to sin together, then asura levesa, then she would be forbidden to go back to her husband, and v'asura lechel v'trumah, if she is the wife of a kohen, she would be forbidden to eat trumah, because then there was a proper warning, a proper violation of that warning, that makes her a soita. She'd be prohibited to her husband. And if she's a wife of a kohen, she cannot eat truma. She must go through the ordeal of drinking the water, being tested in the Beis HaMikdash. The imes, and let's say her husband died before they got to give her the water, and there was no children. They never had any children. Normally, when a woman dies without any children, she's now had to deal with the brother-in-law, the brother of her deceased husband, for having yibum or getting chalitza. But here, says the Mishnah, if in this situation, if the soita's husband dies before they give her the water, chaletzes v'loimis yabamis, she will have to undergo a chalitza, but she cannot have yibum with her deceased husband's brother. She's also to the yavam. Now why? What's the reason? The Gemara explains the reason is because when a man finds there was a problem of a wife, being unfaithful, the Torah says, v'yotze mibeisa, she has to leave his household, v'halchavos l'shachar, and if she goes to another man. Now this word, acher, another man, the Gemara learns mean, teaches us to another man, but not to the yavam, not to the brother of the deceased husband. Well, if the Torah excuses such a woman, a soita, from having yibum, why does she need chalitza? Chalitza is usually when yavam is not an option, then chalitza is done normally. But yavam, if the yibum was never an option, why is chalitza an option required? And the answer is because if her husband was alive, would she require a get? Yes, she'd need a get to make her permitted to get to be married again. So therefore, there's no difference here. She needs something to let her to become eligible for marriage, and that is a chalitza. Others in the another opinion of the Gemara learns, why doesn't she have a yibum? And that's because the mitzvah of yibum was done, as the Torah says, to build the house of the deceased brother. As the Torah says, when she gives chalitza, the Torah says, so shall be done to the man who will not build the house of the brother, which means that the job of the yavam is to build the house of a brother. But this woman, who's suspected of infidelity, she's not a builder, she's a destroyer. And therefore we don't want her the Torah would not allow her to have Yibum, because the whole point of Yibum is to build the house of a brother, but not to have it destroyed. Mishnah Gimel. In previous Mishnah, we learned that after Kinoy and Stira, the woman becomes a Soita. She is forbidden to her husband till she drinks the water, and if she's a wife of a Kohen, she cannot eat Truma. But what happens once she's drunk the water, and she's proved to be innocent, or Tahira? She can go back to the husband, and she's permitted to eat Truma. We're going to talk here about Soitas, who are not checked. We do not give the water to drink, and for that reason, they will remain forever forbidden for the husbands. And if their husband was a Kohen, they'll be forever forbidden to eat Truma, for the reasons that we'll soon see. Mishnah Gimel. Ve'elu asures melechol b'truma. The following women are forbidden from eating Truma forever, if their husband was a Kohen. And even if the husband was not a Kohen, they would not be able to go back to the husband. Ha'oimaris, a woman who says, who she confesses, Temeya anilach. She says to the husband, look, I don't want to drink the water. I sinned. I sinned with that man. And that is after the husband has given her warning, and she violated that warning. She went into hiding with a man. And she says, I'm basically forbidden for you. I had an affair with another man. Now, normally, if a wife says that to the husband, we do not trust that statement. We say, really? Bring a proof. Because we are worried that sometimes a woman might say that just to get out of the relationship. But here it's different. With a soita, we do believe it, because there are grounds for the matter, grounds to believe that she had an affair, because it follows a kinu in stira. It follows a warning, and we know that she had stira. So then she's believed to say, I'm tomei, I'm believed to say I've sinned. We won't give her the waters to drink. There's no need for it. The whole idea of the waters is to prove whether, in fact, she had an affair. But if she admitted, that's it. That's the end of the relationship. She loses the marriage and loses the ksuba and cannot eat truma. V'shebo edim shehitmeya. Second case, the Mishnah mentions. What happens if two edim come along before she got to drink the water and they say that she sinned? She had an affair. Well, that's it. They don't need to go and drink the water. They have the waters of the soita. Now, if the edim, the Gemara explains, if the edim came before she drank the water, then it goes without saying she's forbidden. Because even if there wasn't any warning or stira, two edim would always be believed to say something in court, and she'd be tomei. But the Mishnah's chiddush here is that even if the edim came after they gave her to drink and the waters proved nothing happened to her body, she remained healthy and strong as before, the edus, the testimony, is still upheld. And we do not say, well, the fact that she was not unaffected by the water proves that the edim are fabricating and making up a story. We don't say that. We take into serious consideration the testimony of two edim. Why? Because we say, you know what? It's true. We trust the edim. Why didn't the waters have an effect? For another reason. Eschus. The Gemara explains that there's a schus, a merit. She might have had some merit that suspends the effect of the waters. And for that reason, we do accept the edus, and she loses the marriage and the right to truma. Third case, v'omeres enishoisa. What happens if a woman says, I'm innocent, but I don't want to drink the waters. I don't want to drink it. She says, I'm innocent, I don't want to drink it. We do not force her to drink it, but she'll be forbidden. That's before the waters, before the name of God has been blotted out in the water. She will be forbidden to her husband. She will lose the ksuba because she wasn't prepared to go through the test, and she's also to eat truma. Fourth case, v'shabayla ena roitzalash goisa. Or what happens if the husband doesn't want to give it a drink? She wants to, but he doesn't want to give it a drink. Well, in that case, we won't force him. And the halacha is that she'll be also to him because we cannot prove either way whether she was innocent or not. But here's the difference between this and the other cases, that it's because of him that she doesn't drink it. She's prepared to drink it. There's no reason that she should lose the ksuba. He divorces her, but he has to pay in full the ksuba. And the last case, the Mishnah mentions, v'shabala bala baderach, if the husband lived with her on the road. Now, halacha is that once she's declared a soita, Before she drinks the water and has the test, there all relationships stop between her and her husband. And if he lives with her, he's violating what the Torah says. It's osur. And not only is it osur, but if he did live with her on the journey towards the to the Beis HaMikdash to be tested, if he did live with her, then even if she was guilty, the waters will have no effect on her. Because it says in the Sota, in the Parsha of the Sota, in Parshas Nosai, V'nika ha'ish me'oven, and the man will be free of sin, and the woman will bear her sin. The Chachamim learned from here that only if the man is innocent from sin, such as he didn't live with her on the way to the Beis Din, to the Beis Mikdash, only then the woman will bear her sin, the waters will have an effect on her. But if the man is not innocent of this sin, then the waters won't have an impact on the wife. And therefore, if he lived with her be'isr, prohibited after the istira, she will not get to drink anymore. She'll be osur to him though, because we don't know if she was innocent or not. And she's osur to eat truma as well. But it's because he lived with her, he did something wrong. Once again, she will get the ksuba. Ketzad osalo. Ask the Mishnah, how does he behave? What does the man do when he has such a case of a wife that now is a soita? He's warned her and she was seen in hiding with a man, but we don't know if she sinned or not. Molicha leBeis Din Shebeis HaMakom. He takes her first to the local Beis Din to clarify that in fact there were Edim, that he warned her, and she had stira. Or Moisrin Lo, and that local Beis Din will give to him after they've agreed that, or determined that she's a soita and requires to be given to drink, they will give him shnei tamidei chachamim, two tamidei chachamim that will accompany them, the husband and wife, on the way to Yerushalayim. Why do they have to go in Yerushalayim? Because the soita has to be administered the water only in a Beis Din of 71, the highest court in the land. And we do not want the husband to go by himself with her. Shema yavoi aleha baderech, in case he might live with her on the road. And if he does live with her on the road, she'll be osur forever to him. The waters won't have any effect on him. Or others say that the reason that they give him two tamid chamim is in order to warn him and tell him about the seriousness of the mission and that he cannot live with her now on the way. So it's clear from the Tanakhama, from the Chachamim, that we don't trust a husband with the wife who is a soita. We don't trust him that he won't hold himself back from living with her. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Baila Neman Alehu, he says no. He says the husband is believed and trusted to abstain from going near her, from living with her on the road, on the journey to Yerushalayim. We do not need to give him any Tamid Chachamim or any escort, because the husband will be trusted. The Gemara explains Rabbi Yehuda has a Kal V'chomer to support his view. Kal V'chomer from the laws of Nida. Ma'adacha Nida. A husband to live with a Nida is an Isukoros, much more severe. And a husband is believed and trusted. We don't say that a husband has to separate from a wife and live in a different house, for example. We trust them to be in the same house together. And we trust that he will love with her and will not live with her when she's a Nida. A Soita, which is only a lav, that's a loisase, much, much less severe isur to live with a soita before the waters are given to her. Isn't it a kolshken that we should trust him, trust the husband? Says Rabbi Yehuda, why we don't need to give him any escort of Tamid Chacham. The Chachamim, however, respond, the Gemara says, and say, that's just the point. It's because Nida is such a severe isur, and so chamura, so important that the consequences are so severe that it's chayv koras. That's why we trust the husband. Whereas in the case of the soita, the isur of living with a soita, a wife who's a soita, is only a lav, is a much, much less severe prohibition. And because it's not so severe, therefore we don't trust the husband. And that's exactly why we do need to give him two tamid chachamim all the way up to Yerushalayim.